What is good, people? Welcome back to the Hype Report. I'm glad to present to you a very, very interesting guest today, someone I'm buzzing to have on, and he's been at the top of the list since we kind of launched the podcast, or at least to the new guest format. So welcome, Charlie Parsons. What's happening, mate?
Mate, I'm honoured. Thank you for having me. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. I'm good. I'm much better that you're here. And
I couldn't believe it when I walked in the studio.
Yeah, it's mad.
I mean, the boy is upgrading in life. You're doing very well for
yourself. It is mad. You know, the maddest thing about being here is the... just walking around and seeing like the people, like the big names and shit.
Just kind of
get a bit of imposter syndrome.
I know, yeah. Hey, no, but you've earned your place now.
Yeah, thank you.
You've earned your craft.
So... Tell us. I mean, most people watching probably will know a bit about you, but tell us a bit more in depth what you do, how you're here, and what's your story.
I suppose like mine's a bit of a niche, really. Obviously, my full time trade is like a boxing reporter. However, I probably wouldn't class myself as a journo as such.
Mm.
Quite quickly, I tried to use TikTok as a bit of like a almost niche. I would say people that probably follow the TikTok don't necessarily watch boxing.
100%.
It was trying to like bridge that gap and find something that people, your everyday Joe, could like enjoy as well without sort of knowing what's going on in the boxing scene. And then that just took off.
Yeah.
And then obviously I'm into fashion. So then I've got speaking to people like yourself. And then I suppose like the whole industry just rubs off on each other, right? So, but yeah, by trade, a boxing reporter. And I suppose by TikTok, someone who just does a... Can I swear on this?
Yeah, mate.
Chat shit with Eddie Hearn, basically.
some of the clips that you've had recently have been, not just recently in general, have absolutely banged. I mean, like, how did you figure that out?
I didn't really. I always used to watch IFL, and Coogan had a great, and still does, has a great relationship with Eddie. Mm-hmm. And I've always loved boxing, right? But I always used to want to watch something and then come away from it thinking, oh, I've learned something here, but I've also like laughed along the way.
Yeah.
So I suppose that was sort of like, I feel like Eddie's a good person to do that with. He's quite, you can bounce off him sort of thing. And then I don't really know when it took off, but it did just take off. That Pink Stony video went pretty viral. But I remember like people kept saying to start a TikTok. And at the time, I was a bit naive. I was like, nah, it's just dancing, like cringy dance moves, stuff like that. And when I finally did it, I must have already had like 20 bits to put out. And I remember like hitting like 20K in a matter of weeks. And I was like, okay, we might be onto something here. So then, just stuck with it ever since.
Yeah, mate. The leverage TikTok gives you is mental. I mean, literally everything I was the same as you though, like in terms of like thinking it was just a dancing app.
Yeah.
When I started, I was like, oh God, I can't do this. This is so cringe. And I kind of bit the bullet a little bit. And I started taking it a bit more seriously. I was like, oh, you can, do serious stuff here, man. And like everyone's on it. And, off the back of that, we started a couple of businesses, and literally this is everything achieved is through off the back
of
TikTok.
And I feel like for me, I know that the Creator Fund now, there's opportunities to make better money. But for me, TikTok was never like a money-making scheme. It was like a platform thing. And then, because now like, what is bad? Like short form content has got us all gripped and we benefit off it, right? But like, I was looking, like my mum was going through Instagram Reels the other day and she was laughing at the Mikel Arteta, it's a disgrace meme. She don't even know who Mikel Arteta is. But that's where we're at now with it all.
It's mad.
But, hey, look, it's benefited people like me and you. So
Have you tried the new Creator Beta Fund thing?
I did sign up, but my RPM was scandalously low.
Yeah, so is mine.
I don't know why. And then I like... came off it because someone said something about it. I remember before someone said that it could negatively affect the way you get on the view page.
That,
so I just sort of like...
Yeah, I get about my I don't know if I could... I mean, it probably doesn't really matter what... I assume you can disclose it, but mine is literally really, really fucking low.
Mine.
Some people are getting like a quid per thousand.
Are you able to disclose yours?
I think so. Are
we going to have an RPM off?
My TikTok Creator Fund is probably like not like 30p.
Mine's 25.
Really?
Yeah.
So the bigger videos mine drops, but like his standard, say if I get like a 400k or 500k vid, probably about 31p.
It also has to be like qualifying
a minute
views or something.
Yeah. So the qualified views refers to all of the views post the minute mark.
Okay.
So you've got to watch a whole minute of the video to be qualified.
To be fair, I once uploaded a John Fury video and it was like 40 40 seconds, and I just like started clipping loads of little random bits to just hit the minute mark.
To secure the minute. Yeah. Really. I think everyone does that now. Yeah. But to be fair, mine were always kind of a bit, they're not long vids, they're obviously still short form, but they've always kind of been over a minute over the past few months anyway, even before the creative fund. So I was in quite a good place. But yeah, like you said, the money on TikTok directly isn't great, but the opportunity and platform from it is unbelievable. I mean, you like you said, you are in quite a big niche. So do you get spotted in public at all? Like, quite a bit?
Yeah, now I do, but I don't think
you're quite recognisable.
In
a polite way, of course.
Yeah, but I don't know. Like, I always find a little bit, I don't know. I landed at the airport the other day, and it was like Geneva Airport, and then a couple of lads were like, "Oh, can we have a photo?" Now, obviously, they've flown in from the UK, but like little things like that. But I suppose I don't really see it as anything now.
Because you're behind the camera. Well, not all the time, but a lot of time you're behind the camera.
Well, that was it. I mean, all the clips with Eddie, I'm behind the camera. I started doing the Day in the Lives, but they're always like, they're not great quality-wise, but it's almost to have like a bit of backbone content to fall onto.
And like the people who really invested in your content will genuinely watch it.
I feel like my Instagram, I've utilised that quite well as well.
Yeah.
Like that seems to be doing really well at the minute. And obviously, like, I don't really use that for reels and stuff. It's more just what I'm getting up to. But that seems to have done, I don't really know. Like in the boxing media scene, like I've seen mates get recognised just through their voice, being at events and stuff, just from doing the interviews. But yeah, I do now. But it's always like, I find it quite nice and it's humbling, right? Like it's nice that someone would want to have a photo.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you can look at it two ways. I guess some people really goes to their head, especially if they're not like a massive, like I feel like with it might be different for you because you're more in a bit more of a secure job than I am. But for me, obviously it's just like staying super level headed because you're not actually that big.
Oh, no, precisely.
Like for me anyway, like I'm not like it's especially walking around like the Fella Studios, you see people who are like big on YouTube who make, I don't know, like bags per video on YouTube. And stuff like that. So, and per brand or whatever. So that's definitely pins me down, which is a really good thing.
I was on Xbox the other day and one of my pals, I don't really ever go on my Xbox anymore. I don't find the time, but one of my pals, Craig, who I've like known for years and used to just play, he was like, yeah, you must like have like 100K in the bank. And I was thinking, no way, I am nowhere near those numbers. So yeah, like similar position to you really, like grateful and everything, but got a long way to go yet.
Yeah.
But we're getting there.
You're getting there. You're doing a lot for the scene as well, man.
It's, trying. Boxing's an interesting one. I'm not, like, I'm quite unconventional, I suppose, with what I've done. Like, it's quite informal and chatty and fun, which isn't for everyone. There's some great outlets out there, though. Like, I wouldn't, like, I get a lot of hate now, which is...
Really?
Yeah. Through the boxing industry. But I suppose like that's natural now. But it is what it is. Like if people, not everyone's going to like the stuff I'm producing. Like the sort of stuff that goes on TikTok that like my audience of like 13 to 25 will like, I can get why Steve, who's 40, doesn't want me to be speaking to Eddie about what Jordan tracksuit he's wearing.
Yeah.
But then I'll just say, go and watch someone else's interview with him.
Yeah,
that's my style, and it's not for everyone. But
I think I'm exactly the same. Most TikTokers are the same. As soon as they start to, or any content creator for that matter, as soon as you start to pick up a bit of pace, a bit of speed,
oh, there's always someone with something to say.
Yeah, and you just got to shoulders back a little bit and chest out and kind of thick skin and just firm it.
You know what it is? Like, I find myself biting more when I'm in like a bad mood or tired.
Yeah.
Like, this geezer rang me, and I shouldn't even be giving him the airtime of bringing it up now. But he was like, Parsons, the way you portray yourself online is embarrassing. Like, he was ringing me on Instagram video. It must have rang me about 7 times, and I finally took it. I was like, it was a Sunday. I was like with my pals. I was just like, one, what are you doing ringing me 7 times on Instagram? Yeah. A geezer you don't know. But two, like, if that was the case, I'd hope that it would be my friends and my family to put me in the position that would be like, like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like Dave from Shropshire.
Was it an old guy? That,
no, he was like my age. But
so weird, man. People have so much time to do that. Like,
yeah, but also like, I don't know, man. Like,
I don't know. It's not really worth giving it the airtime, is it?
Nah.
But it's just the internet, right? Like you say, like, not everyone's going to like you. It is what it is.
Yeah, and coming to like grasping that fact, it is a little bit difficult. Even if you're in like a good privileged position, like me and yourself to an extent, like you just gotta suck it up. And people are always going to have something to say. If you're in not the public eye, but if you're putting content out publicly, your face publicly, you are going to get hate, good or bad, whatever. Lots
Simple
of good
thing
or bad
is
comments.
Everyone's got a right to an opinion, right?
Yeah.
And 95% of the people, like, we like the love, yeah? We like all the positive comments.
Yeah.
And that's their right to give that.
Yeah.
So then I suppose there's also a right of giving the negative. It's natural. Like, it is what it is.
You got to have a balance. I mean, the lady behind the camera, you won't be able to, well, you'll be able to see, but the viewers won't be able to see. I actually log off TikTok when I post about 4 p.m. on the main account, and she will monitor the comments, the views, and how it does, purely because I don't want the hassle doing it.
You know what? I need to do something like that because it's so easy to get caught up and engrossed. 100%. Like, I had a little bit of a quiet patch, and I probably uploaded like 2 videos in 2 weeks. And then I'm sat there thinking, like, oh, am I going to fall off this and that? And like, you become so like, you find yourself just refreshing constantly. Yeah. It's actually quite dangerous.
Mate, it's the worst thing if you ever get down that loophole.
You get so consumed in it.
The views are fucked. Because especially on TikTok, it's quite out of your hands. Obviously, you can put out, make as good as content as you can. And I myself spend hours and hours and days planning short form content. And I generally don't think there's many people on TikTok who spend the amount of time I do in such planning. Short videos.
Yeah.
And spend like, oh, there's a budget for it. There's time, there's energy, everything goes into it. And obviously when that doesn't pay off, let's say if I get a video on, like, if I wake up and the video isn't at least surpassed like 150K, or sometimes,
like,
it can be
quite
a bit
lower.
What am I doing wrong? It's like, fuck.
Yeah. No,
so
I feel
why?
That.
Why?
I feel that.
And then I'll go to Meg and be like, you know, how did the video perform? Talk to me. Why is it bad? What's wrong with it? And she's like, chat, just relax. And I think it's wrong with the video. The views always just
the
comes
algorithm's
up and down.
Just hit and miss, right?
Yeah.
I uploaded 100%. Something the other day. I couldn't be bothered to delete it, but it had like something like 300 views in 2 hours.
Yeah, that's mad.
I was like, that's
it's bugs, man.
That's
sometimes it's bugs.
Right.
Yeah.
But the game's a game.
It is.
I don't
anyway.
Think you can master the algorithms.
Yeah, mate, it's impossible. So you have interviewed a lot of big names, a lot of big guests. I was looking for yesterday. I think I found Ed Sheeran, the Furies, obviously big Eddie Hearn. Who is the most famous person you've actually interviewed?
Ed Sheeran.
Really, Ed
Without
Sheeran?
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Hands down.
What was he like?
Such a genuine and down-to-earth guy.
Yeah.
You know what? Actually, it's quite nice because it's the first time I'll sort of be able to share this story firsthand. But Frank Smith at Matchroom, big up Frank, like genuinely diamond of a bloke. He told me probably a month and a half before, in Dublin, you're going to interview Ed Sheeran. Don't tell anyone. And I didn't. I sent him a message. I was like, bro, can I please tell my mum? Because it was like that. Like, yeah. And I told my mum, and I don't really think she even was like, okay, like, we'll see. And then it got to fight night. And bearing in mind, like, if celebs ever turn up, the main event's on at like 10:30, they'll probably get there between like 9 and 10, like just for the main event or the co-main event. Ed Sheeran was there at 6:30, watched the whole of the undercard. Right, I look at my phone, I get this text, like he had this special room made up for him. It was sick. And it was just like, come up to the room, bring camera. And I'm sat there like outside, like Ed Sheeran's like room, like having to compose myself because I never I don't really fanboy now because of this environment I work in, but that's, it's Ed Sheeran, mate. Like, I remember vibing in the car with the A-team, like to the A-team with my mum back when I was a kid. Like, I had to really play it cool. And I've walked in there and he was just the most genuine bloke ever. Frank was like 2 minutes in out. I was like, yes, whatever. The interview went on, I think, for 5 minutes. Afterwards, I was speaking to Ed's like security guy called Kev. He's an absolute diamond. And his dad.
Yeah.
I turn around and Ed Sheeran's like packing up my camera equipment.
Wow.
He's like speaking to me about, he's like going, like, get the badge in. At the end of the night, I like waved at him down the corridor and he ran over, gave me a kiss and was like, get the fucking badge in, mate. And I was like, oh my God.
What the fuck?
And it's like, Ed, like apparently like him and Ed, like his manager Kev and Ed just crease at my videos. Like, I got a text off him the other day like, oh, I know you like a number, Shun. Look how many likes this, look how many likes the photo of you and Ed's done. And I was like, what?
That's mental, mate.
I couldn't process that's the fact nuts. That they watched the video. I still can't, to be honest.
Yeah, that's crazy, man. He's a Ed Sheeran is massively into his clobber from like sneakers.
Huge.
Massive sneakerhead.
His crep game is incredible.
Yeah.
Different pair of Jordans every day, he was telling me. Yeah, like ridiculous.
That's nuts. But, he's a big Stoney fan, isn't he, as well?
Yeah, but what he's done is incredible. Like you look at like singing, like he nailed that. But like the fact that this geezer is able to work and do Christmas stuff with Elton John, release tunes with like Dave, DJ Khaled, like it's nuts. Yeah, that was so like, it's my lock screen on my phone.
Yeah.
Surreal.
That's mad, mate. Now, obviously, a lot of your content is around you interviewing Eddie Hearn and someone who have gone big, big viral numbers. How did that come about and like to start, how did you start taking the piss out of the Stone Island to get the badge in?
I'm such a, like, I'm just a Jack the Lad. So like, I probably slightly push boundaries in that. Like I'm a bit informal and I like to have a laugh and a joke. But he quite quickly would like take the piss out of what I was wearing. Like that Pink Stoney video, I think was my first one to go viral.
Oh,
viral.
So well, man.
Parsons, what are you wearing? Pink Stoney. And then that was sort of a bit of a thing. And then he turned up in that Jordan tracksuit that one time. And it was like, respect to Ed, but this was, and bearing in mind, like I've got to improve my game at the minute. I'm in a real position like where like I need to sort out what I'm doing myself. But this was not like a nice Jordan number that you get maybe like a premium rate on StockX or something. Because Ed does that. He started buying in things. Like they all like their Travis Scott Jordans and stuff like that.
Yeah.
This was straight out of JD, off the shelf, out of way. And I thought, no, unacceptable. So yeah, that's sort of like how the niche started. I suppose just pushing boundaries a bit and now we'll just go back and forth. But it's always funny because I think I'm doing him dirty.
Yeah.
And then I'll look at the comments, they'll be like, nah, Ed's had you there. And I'm like, okay, I've got to level up myself now.
I love that kind of relationship though, bantering between each other and kind you of rinsing each other.
That's what I mean. I would want someone to watch it and laugh for themselves and sort of enjoy what they were watching and sort of like people that watch the boxing interviews, they come out of it being informed but also had a laugh as well. And it's always good to rip for TikTok.
And what was it like having Eddie Hearn big you up on the Sidemen podcast?
You know what? That was so surreal, bro. Like, I got a text from Joe, who used to work at Lab Bible, and he's at Sidemen now. And he was like, we've got Eddie on. Can you send a little video message? Now, I was like, this is sick. I want to do it. But at the same time, one, Eddie's going on the Sidemen podcast. I don't want to end it being like, oh, look, it's like, let's try and make it the Charlie Parsons show. So I was a bit like skeptical of that. But I was also skeptical of me sending this video message in and KSI, Deji and Bazinga just being like, who the fuck is that guy? But I did it. It turned out they actually all knew who I was. Like,
yeah.
Ethan was bigging me up and now I speak to Ethan a bit on Twitter, which was like so surreal. Because I used to like, swear to God, like these guys when they used to do GTA races back in the day. And I remember like KSI Road to Division 1 and that. That's what I grew up on. So seeing that, and then he actually spoke quite highly of me as well. Like Eddie was like, no, I respect it. He's a grafter. You've got to be persistent in my line of work. And I probably am. Like Eddie is like, doesn't reply to many messages. And I'll like hound him. I'll be like, bro, like, can we do an interview? Can we do this? Can we do that? And it always works in the end. So then seeing that on there, and they sort of all knew who I was and they were on about the Chava thing. And I was like, nah, that's next level.
Yeah, mate. Very blessed. That was amazing. I was well happy to see that. I couldn't believe that.
Bro, that was one of the like occasions where I was just sat there refreshing TikTok all night. It was flying.
You made some big clips out of that. You clipped them and stuff.
Yeah. They said to me, like, clip it all up for yourself. And there was probably about 5 minutes worth of content. I think I got like four clips out of it.
And did they bang?
Huge.
Good.
Huge. Yeah.
Mate, that's mental.
Yes.
I mean, it must be, I haven't had the whole Simon Big Me up, but there was a case quite recently where Mini Minter said something quite similar about this podcast and he watches my content and stuff. And that was like, I guess something really similar to you, where it was a bit like you have to step back and you're like, oh, someone I used to watch all the time, like who was like almost like, who is like right at the top, right? You think content creation, those guys are at the like the peak.
We look up to them, right?
Yeah, 100%.
So the fact that they are able to appreciate what we do when we're the ones that used to watch them and still watch them now, that's like, it's almost like a in a weird way, like a passing of the torch. Like they're still doing their thing, but the fact that they're in a position where they're able to endorse us, that's special, right?
Yeah, I mean, 100%. That was, like you said, yeah, one of those moments. I kept watching the clip back, a bit like you're refreshing the phone, but mate, it's...
Watched it back up. Yeah, you would, wouldn't you?
Yeah, those guys are smashing it. Now, a question I got, I put a poll out the other day and I was like, you know, what questions do people want to see asked to Parsons? So what, one of the most popular ones was, would you ever step in a ring?
Oh, there is a man who's come with me today who I am thinking about turning it into a reality. Now, it's like a double-edged sword, right? I think the boxing industry would kill me if I did it.
Yeah.
And if I lost...
Yeah, if you rinsed.
Long day.
Yeah.
Seriously long day. However, I have spoke to Mams. If the bag is right, I'm very lucky where I'm in a position where I could get a very like high... I mean, I train as it is boxing. Down one of the pro gyms by me, but I'm in a very lucky position where I could get quite a high level of training and get myself into a position where I think like some of the quality of Misfit's very good, but for a first fight, I'm hoping, I mean, I can't be that bad, right? I'm hoping I'd be okay. I know I can fight a bit. I would like to do it. The only thing is, yeah, I don't really know who. I don't want a cringe build up.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like I saw recently the main event, like Jarvis and B Dave. Now, big up to them both, but I don't want someone pushing me and being like, oh, you smell nice and all this and all that. Yeah. Like, that's a little bit, it's got its place, by the way. But if I do it, I would want to have it. But I don't know who I would fight. I wasn't blessed with the height genes, right? So I don't know. Yes, I would say 2024, watch this space.
Sick, you heard it here first.
I know.
Going to step in.
I think so. I think I would like to put myself in camp through 8 weeks and then not booze, not eat like crap.
Yeah.
Because I eat like shit, bro. I eat like my life, like because I'm always on the move.
It's like you're moving all the time, traveling all the time. It's got to be quick.
Just boozing and fast food. I've tried to cut down a little bit, but it is hard. Whereas if I could just discipline myself, I think that would be nice. Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. I get asked, obviously I would never, ever, ever do anything like that, mate.
I could not
think of it. Even if they offered me, I don't know, but because like we was discussing before, my brother's like massive, like huge into boxing, right? For not just like I don't know what you would call, like trains. He doesn't fight, but he trains like, you know, multiple times a week, 3-4 times a week in his gym. And he always goes on about how much love like a great safe place it is. And it's done so much for him. And he always gets me. We always talk about kind of like how much I would earn if I went into one.
Discipline is the maddest thing.
Mm.
And through boxing, you get that.
Yeah, that's definitely, it's changed.
That's what I mean. I think I would just like to see, I think I'd be a new person after an 8-week camp.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you strip yourself back, you're eating clean, you're going to bed early, healthy habits. That's why I sort of like toyed with the idea of potentially doing an amateur fight before Misfit. So it doesn't look like I'm just doing it to sort of like
for the bag,
take the piss and for the bag. But at the same time, if the bag's right.
Is there anyone in Misfits who, or I guess like the, I know you do a lot of the pro boxing stuff, but is there anyone in the, I guess, celebrity boxing world, influencer boxing world that really excites you?
This is the problem, no. Because I'm like, a lot of the guys are bigger than I am. So I would have to probably cut to like super lightweight, like 140 to 100, probably like 140 pounds. And I know that like Dean the Great and Walid Sharks are at that weight. They right now, I think they would probably take my head off.
Yeah, he's good. He is.
Yeah, they can actually fight. Like when them two fought, it looked like you were watching some. It was like a technical, but like if you saw 100%. That in a pro ring, you would be like, okay, fair enough. So yeah, but there's not enough characters in the space around my weight. But like a few people have said Fred and that, but he's I don't know what he'd fight at. He's so much smaller than I swear to God, I would have to like chop both my legs off.
Yeah, I don't know. That would be tough because I met Fred quite a few times. He's a lovely, lovely guy.
Oh,
he's guy.
Such. Oh, Fred's just. Mate, I don't amazing. Think I could punch Fred.
Yeah, no, I don't know. So, I'd want to win. I probably wouldn't watch it. I'd be terrified.
I don't think I could fight Fred. I genuinely think I'd have to chop a leg off to make any sort of weight that he would be. Yeah, I'm a bit more stocky. I enjoy my food a little bit too much.
Yeah. All right. So, in terms of the boxing world and celebrities and all these people you've interviewed, who has had the worst clobber? Who has dressed, other than obviously Eddie wearing some interesting stuff? Is there been anyone you've interviewed?
God, like, someone's going to kill me off the back of this. I don't know if I've ever looked at anyone and gone, that is scandalously outrageous.
Yeah.
Other than Edward in a Jordan number.
Yeah.
No, it's got to be Edward every time.
Mm.
Not every time, because sometimes he pulls that out and I'm like, okay. Like sometimes I'm taking... See, the photo that we've got on screen, yeah? I don't know what the polo's doing. It's a little bit rascal. But, look, he's fair play to the man. He's lost a lot of weight since then.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah. I don't look like that now.
That's not atrocious. There's been some hideous one. Oh, this one I absolutely ripped into him for. You know what? I don't mind this. It's a bit too white. The white tones are a bit rascal. But, I mean, the thing is, though, this was, I can't remember what magazine it was, but this was like a shoot in New York for something that he was like on the front page of a magazine. So I did take the piss out of him and he was like, yeah, but Parsons, I'm on the front page of a magazine. Shut up.
You can only go so far with that amount. That is such a flex, like...
Yeah,
I mean that's massive. I mean,
like, even if that was a Teletubby outfit, yeah, I would still have to respect it because that photo shoot put him on the front of a magazine. So until I'm at that point of competition, no, there's been some. Like I remember in Orlando to a weigh-in, I actually made a TikTok on it. I was surprised it didn't do more views than it did. There was this tiny little. It was like a tiny little t-shirt. It was so cropped on him and shorts that were like this.
Yeah.
What was the fight week? I'm trying to think. I'm trying to think of a fight. Put Conor Benn, Orlando weigh-in. No, Eddie Hearn as well. Oh, that, there we are. Skin tight t-shirt I've ever seen.
I saw that bit.
And the shorts were like up to here.
Brave enough.
Yeah, you know what? No one else really sticks out.
See a lot of guys wearing Stonies, lots of Stone Island.
Lots of badging.
Lots of badges.
Lots of badging.
From Stone Island, Montclair, but CP.
Yes. Yes. There's also a lot. The thing is also as well, there's a lot of team tracksuits.
Yes.
So, yeah. I'm trying to think of anyone that really pushes the boat out, but I can't. Tyson Fury's got some rascal.
Yeah, he's worn some. I watched the documentary and he wore some crazy like Versace numbers.
Yes, but he's also Tyson Fury.
Exactly,
Gypsy King.
You can't say
he does what the fuck he wants. Mm. Literally, he has worn some like his suits are mental. Like, look at that.
Yeah,
no shirt. Crazy. Just pure chest, pure vibes. I mean, let's be real. If me and you stepped out in that, we're getting laughed at. He steps out in it. To be fair to him, top G.
I'll probably be cancelled if I wore anything like that. But
yeah,
that is crazy. What about yourself in terms of brands you're messing with, fashion items you like, brands you like?
I need to sort myself out at a minute because like I say, not blessed with the height genes. I haven't really grown much since.
What is the official height of Parsons?
5'8".
5'8", okay. It's
potentially 5'7". but for the camera, 5'8". God, I don't know if I would put that out there like that. Oh, well, it's out there now. So, like, I bought my first Stony bit when I was 13. I started a little reselling thing called Parsons Commerce.
No way.
And I used to make quite good money out of it in school. So like flipping Supreme. I'm still on all these Facebook groups now where I used to pick bits up and resell. Like I bought this when I was, by the way, I am wearing a coat indoors. I'm not a mug. I just didn't want to wear a Palm Angels jacket because I'm not massive on it. And it was like, I just had a howler getting ready this morning. So that explains a jacket indoors. I bought this when I was 15. And to this day, it's still the most expensive thing I've ever bought. It was 600 quid. In all fairness to Moncler, right? This is a Meyer from, I think, 2016. The quality's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I've had it mad since I was in like year 10.
The retail on that now is like, if you, I don't know, like, obviously, I don't know if that exact model
crazy
was sold,
now,
but the Meyer now or Meyer, whatever it's called, is like 1.2.
Yeah.
Mate, it's insane. And the inflation is crazy. I mean, 600 for that is investment, bro.
Yes. But I've just like, it's my go-to now in the winter. So yeah, from quite young, I like my designer clothes. Lots of Stone Island. I've got so many Stone Island bits now. But the thing is also, like, I could get a tracksuit. God, you could get a jumper for like 160, tracksuit bottoms for like 140. Now I bought a knit in New York and it was like 600 quid.
Fuck. What and was that? Was that Stone Island knit?
Stone Island, yes, knit. So I'm in a little bit of like a, I think I'm going to have to throw a lot of stuff out. Like I'm not massive on, I need to sort myself out. I quite like tailored stuff. So just like smart, like linen trousers, because I feel like you can put that with a lot. And then like I'll always like a like graphic jumper or something like that, or a nice knit or something. But I want to go down a little bit more smart as well. Like I wore a Visu jeans to a weigh-in and everyone just ripped me a new one, which is fine. I'm used to that. I'm used to sort of being the guy where people are like, fucking hell, mate, it's a bit rascal, whether that be good or bad.
Yeah, interesting you mentioned about throwing stuff out. Like, I'm the same. Like I'm in a position now, I've got kind of collected stuff probably from the similar age to you, just bought over the years. And since I've been like, I'm the same, I ain't grown much since like I'm 18 17 18. I've been rocking the, I've just collected so many different brands and whatever, and I'm just sat on so much stuff now.
Yeah, I've this is a bit like me. Also, I now get sent a lot of clothes.
Yeah.
So what's also weird is, right, but I'm just gonna, just for everyone watching, I now run a lot, which you'll probably know if you follow me on Insta or TikTok, because I don't shut up about it. But a year ago, me going for a 5K run was just, you would not have imagined it, right? Yeah. Just this fat little greasy young slime ball from Cirencester.
I wouldn't describe it as that, but...
No, but like, you've got to be able to take the piss out of yourself,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And now I get sent, obviously I've started running, I get sent a lot of sportswear. So one, my mum's like, what on earth is going on? Like, how have you ended up in a position where you're getting sent like, oh, can you be an influencer for this fitness brand? Because I, mate, to be honest, right, away from the runs, I'm the least fit man going. But yeah, but my mum is definitely sick of bundles and bundles of clothes being delivered every week. And I don't like throwing anything out. So then I'm just sat on like...
Yeah, I'm the same. Especially when you get gifted stuff, I don't like chucking that away because they've gone out of the way and sent you stuff.
No, of course.
And I'm like, well, it's like today, under this, I'm rocking a t-shirt from a really small brand. I love that.
I've seen those before.
Yeah, this is from... The lady got it for me again behind the camera. It's from...
Shout out.
What, art football or something? I've seen them before.
Yeah, they're cool.
Yeah, it was like a Christmas gift.
It's like a subtle badging.
Yeah, it's fucking brilliant. That's Snowman Hooligan.
Like them. Yeah, they do t-shirts as well, right?
Yeah, I've seen them.
They're quite cool, yeah.
Sick. I thought it was on super on brand today.
I wore a little Stony tee.
Did you? Oh, very nice. Very nice. Right, I've been told to ask you a specific question. How was it meeting Conor McGregor and Dylan Dallas?
Dylan Danis was, you know what, actually, we'll go on Conor first because he's an absolute nutter.
Yeah.
Right? I love him to bits. I think he's brilliant. I'm not a massive MMA guy, but obviously you can appreciate what he's done. First time I met him was at the Forged pub in Dublin. Now, he does own the gaff, but like I said to someone, I was like, oh, he's bowling around like he owns a gaff, but like he genuinely does own the gaff, so I suppose you have that right. He's absolutely nuts. He was getting people behind the bar to pour pints. He was like doing Irish dancing. He is just nuts. And then he came out and done a bit with like a scrum interview with Eddie, which was great fun. Very surreal, very cool. Actually, you know, like quite was always like every time I've asked for a photo or seen him or anything, like he, don't get me wrong, he's got hundreds of people on him, but he does stop and like they're good. Dylan Danis was an interesting one. Interesting character.
Mm.
I enjoyed my interview with him. I think there's a deeper side to him that people don't see. Like I actually played him a clip that he spoke about in a podcast about loyalty and stuff.
Yeah.
I think there's probably some deep rooted shit in there, to be honest with you, bro. And when I brought it up, he wasn't massively chatty and talking about it, because I think he's come across like recently, especially in the whole Logan Paul build up, as this like sort of take the piss.
Yeah, a bit of a front.
And it was fucking like, Jesus Christ. Like if I was having to open Twitter to that every day, I mean, it was intense, right? But I do think there's another side to him. He was quite good with me. He's quite, God, I mean, I can see why his circle's small. Like, you know, just sort of eager to like do your media and go sort of thing. Small few people around him. Is it good or bad for boxing, I'm reading? I think good. I don't, the fight was shite.
Yeah, like, the fight was horrendous. Because I was so tired. And I remember I had all my mates around. I was absolutely exhausted because I was doing something in the morning, like working. I was absolutely shattered. And by the time it came on, I was like, oh, this better be fucking good. And the fight was just so boring.
So bad. But I tell you what, one of the best atmospheres I've ever seen live, like ever. Sick. But also, they ain't boxers.
Yeah.
They're personalities. And if 5 or 10% of that viewership then start watching boxing, cool. There are people that don't like boxing, the influence of boxing. There's a lot of them. And I get it. Like, you build a connection with the sport, right? But at the end of the day, like, love it or hate it, it's there to stay. There's a market for it. Jake Paul's fighting Friday. KSI's doing a spar with Speed that clashes.
Yeah,
like,
I saw that, yeah. Is that clash the same day as Jake Paul?
Yeah, they're doing it exactly the same time.
That's smart.
Well, it is, but they're also like KSI is also under DAZN, and Jake Paul's fighting on DAZN, so technically it sort of fucks with DAZN a bit. But that's beyond us. I like it. It is what it is.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, I'm positive for it, but I'm not a boxing man. I'm just for the pro influencers and pro content creators.
The thing is, like, I turned up to Misfits at York Hall, and I was with like Joe Weller, Ed Matthews.
Yeah.
And obviously now, because I've done my stuff on TikTok, it's nice because like they know who I am as well. But I'm still that age, right? Like, I love boxing and I work in boxing, but I'm still at an age where I can appreciate the content creation side of stuff. Love it or hate it, ain't going nowhere. Yeah. Those stupid numbers. People like the prices that the tickets for KSI Fury were going for were ridiculous. It's there to stay.
Yeah. Will it be long term? Yeah, 100%. Longevity.
100%. Yeah. You've got a platform and they're willing to pay the money. Why not?
Yeah, 100%, mate. What did you think about, obviously, was it the Ed Matthews fight that ended really fucking quick? Was it Swarms? Did he fight for Swarms?
Yeah.
Yeah, knocked him down.
Yeah, a bit weird. I don't really know, to be honest. Like, I know Swarms trains down with H Boxing down in Surrey, which is quite a good gym. Like, they had like world champions in there, Harlem Eubank, stuff like that. But I suppose if it ain't for you, it ain't for you. And I don't really think boxing's for Swarms.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just being respectful. That ain't a diss.
Ed, I tell you what, Ed is fucking terrifying. I saw him.
Ed is a character. Yeah. I like him though. I think he's good fun.
I like him.
But he is a character. Yeah. I mean, he actually he went in with a broken toe.
Yeah, I saw that afterwards. Yeah.
I was speaking to him at the weigh-in and I was like, do you need to do some pads tomorrow? Like, I'm training tomorrow morning. Do you need to do like some boxing? And he was like, yeah, sort it out. And I was like, what about 10 a.m.? And he was like, oh, I want a lion. And I was thinking like, okay, anyway, I couldn't sort anything later than 10. So I said, right, come to the gym. We'll do pads at 10. He didn't turn up, right? At the weigh-in, he was smoking a Zoot and having a Red Bull.
Mad.
Right. I don't think he weighed anywhere near Swarms' weight. Went in there, clarted him in a couple of seconds, did one interview, said, fuck this, and just ran around like a headless chicken all night. But you know what? Fucking good on him.
Yeah, fair play to him doing his thing.
Yeah.
Crazy, man. Crazy. Yeah, I guess I guess the influencer space has definitely put more eyes, influencer boxing has definitely put more eyes on the sport. I mean, I find myself self-watching, like just generally paying a lot more interest in boxing in general.
I think if you're watching, I was speaking to my pals about this yesterday, if you're watching, I don't know, KSI Fury, and then you see advertised Anthony Joshua's fight in December 23rd on the same platform that you're subscribed to anyway, like, if you've got your subscription, you're probably going to go and click and watch it anyway, right?
So, yeah, yeah, definitely. Is there any upcoming fights in the influencer world that haven't been made yet, but like, you know, because I know there's, Bazinga might be fine. I know you said you speak to him. There's loads of stuff about Joe Weller.
Potentially, yeah.
All that stuff. Ed again.
I think HS Tiki Toki is fighting in Leeds in January. I don't know if I'm... Someone else told me. So, I mean, if I'm breaking the news, that's, I think it's out there, to be honest.
Yeah.
He's going to be great for the space. There's a little thing there. Did Tommy Fury's performance against KSI make professional boxing look bad? No, because I don't think... John Fury come out afterwards and was like, I'm like, he's a novice pro. Like, Tommy Fury doesn't have a huge amateur background. Yes, he's part of the Fury DNA, the Fury family, whatever. But not really. Like, he's not... Like, me personally, I don't think Tommy's going to become a world champion. There's talks about him fighting Roy Jones Jr. at the minute. He fought KSI, he fought Jake Paul. He can rematch with them both. People say, like, why is he not being built up like a professional? You earn 30K to go and fight some, I don't know, Ukrainian guy with 14-4 record. Or you go and fight a YouTuber and go and secure £5 million. It's a no brainer.
How much did... I don't know how much, I don't disclose millions. It, but I mean, it must millions. Have made millions. Loads.
I would imagine Tommy took millions out of that.
Yeah, mental. Yeah, I guess you're right. I mean, what any sane human would probably take a bit of criticism from the boxing community, and then you got that's generational wealth to feed your family.
I say, like, with me, like, you're gonna get critics if you do things unconventional. Tommy Fury probably isn't going to go and have a big pro career. Is he going to secure the bag and make a load of money in the meantime? Fighting KSI, Jake Paul. God, I mean, the opportunities are endless.
Yeah.
And if there's people willing to pay, then like, who are we to say it's not good? Or do you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely, mate. Swiftly moving on to something a little bit more, what this, like, a little bit more this podcast is recognized to, or recognizes. How is your kick game, your sneaker game? I know we spoke about your garments. Talk about your shoes. You a big sneaker guy?
Yes and no. So, like, I am, but I don't buy, I haven't bought a pair of trainers in ages. Like, I've got some trainers that are, like, sick, for example. I bought the Skepta Deluxe Never Sleep on Tour trainers back in 2017 or 18, I'd like to say. Yeah. I remember buying like the Off-White Jordan 1 UNCs. I've got the new Skepta. What are the blue ones? He done a red and a blue pair.
Yeah, I know, the tailwind ones.
The tail, yeah, there we are.
Yeah. Yeah, they're mad.
I've got some fours and
the
like stuff like that.
The UNCs must have cost it.
I actually bought them retail and then just flipped them quickly. That was
how
in
much
my
you selling
sort of
for?
Like, I think at the time 700, and yeah. I think now I would have made like. But I also at the same, that's like hindsight, bro. Like,
yeah,
was I
yeah,
holding
yeah,
on
yeah.
to a pair of Jordans for 4 years? No, like yeah. you do shit with the money.
Nah,
I actually think that money bought this.
Yeah,
so,
if you speak to, we had a guest on last week who's literally full time celebrity reset, and it's always just move. Pairs.
Yeah, I need to like buy. I need to get back in and sort of put a few in the rotation. I love the Travis Scott Jordans. Not even just one particular pair, but they're so like, oh my God, the money that you're paying on a pair of them.
Yeah.
And they actually like, some of them go well with a suit. Like we're starting to see more suits or
and
like the linen
kicks.
Trousers with a pair of fours or something like
really?
That at work in a minute, which I've like, sort of like your smart casual type.
Anyone big wearing any Travises? Any hype
Frank
players?
Smith, CEO of Matchroom, his game has been remarkable
really?
Recently, like proper leveled up.
Yeah, the Travis yeah. are crazy expensive. I mean, they're
stupid money.
The Meg has a pair behind the camera again. The female, she's got a pair of the size, I don't know, like a size 6 Travis Scott Reverse Olive. No, I bought them. Very expensive.
How
like,
much they set you back?
Probably like 500-600. Mm, yeah,
that's what I mean. It's mad money,
mate. They're
but
mental.
I need to like. Yeah, I, like I say, I'm in a whole rejig at the minute. So, and also like them tailwinds, I can't really wear when I'm covering boxing.
Mm.
So,
what can you wear when you're covering boxing?
You can sort of wear what you want, but I'd rather too be like, bold. Yeah, like I'll usually stick to like a pair of Valentinos or these, which are proper beat out in a minute. Mallet sent me these, but they're proper like beat and dirty. I actually need to go and give them a scrub after this, but yeah.
Humble, staying humble.
Yeah. No, they're like, so you're leveling up there. But then again, if I turned up, like I like them myself, but if I turned up in them, I don't think Eddie would ever let me.
Yeah, that. Yeah,
they're rascal.
Probably don't want to wear.
They're proper rascal.
You would get. They are a bold piece. Yeah, even for me, they are a little bit crazy. But yeah,
you've got to do things like that, right?
Yeah,
like, I turned up with a pair of Jordan 4s that had different colour laces. So.
Yeah, mate. I mean, that's the benefit of me. That's why I'm so pleased. I live in like kind of work in this world. I can kind of. Well, I'm basically saying this. I work at home all the time, but I was going to say I can kind of wear what I want all the time. I'm not really.
You
were
selling. Selling trainers to a Watford player the other day.
Yeah, sold some kicks to Jake Livermore, which was sick for me because I'm a huge
Watford fan, right?
Yeah. Well, it was at the Southampton game,
what
which is
crap
which
game
is your
of
team.
Football.
Yeah.
Shit game of football.
It's probably a much better result for us than it is for
awful
promotion chasing Southampton. Yeah.
We're not that great. Like I keep saying this, not to go off on a tangent, but like. We did that look like a team that would smash the championship? I don't think so.
No, there's a good handful of teams who are considerably better, for sure.
Yeah. And that's a problem because I think when you look at our squad on paper and compare it to a squad like Leicester, really, it should be us, 1 and 2. I think we've probably missed out on automatics now. Mm.
Yeah, some good teams. It was interesting selling the shoe to a footballer. I wasn't sure what to expect. I've done it before, but like kind of smaller footballers. And Jake Livermore isn't like, he ain't in the Prem anymore. He's probably towards the back end of his career. He's not in his prime, but he has, I mean, he's played for England.
Yeah,
he's been
shout
at Spurs.
Out Jake Livermore. Bro, no, he's still a flex, bro. Like, mate, No. You know what it is? Like, the fact of the matter is, they're all human beings. Like, I've got a couple of mates who are footballers. Probably like the biggest one of note would be Ollie McBurney
at
Sheffield United.
He loves his Stone Island.
He's such a boy.
He's
bro.
Hilarious. I've
but
seen
me and him
like
were chatting, and he sent me a video of his wardrobe because he's mastered the pink Stony. He's got a little jumper and shorts.
Oh, I've got to get him one.
Yeah. But he's like, people keep saying to me, like, yeah, you've got to get a sponsorship with Stone Island. And Ollie's tried. And I swear to God, I've never seen a wardrobe like Ollie's wardrobe.
Really?
There was just Stone Island everywhere.
It's
some of them,
big casual,
like, if I say my bits are rascal, his, like, he's got some proper rascal bits in there. But if he can't get a Stony sponsorship, then I have got no hope.
Yeah. Stone Island, they're still, although it's worn very casually over here, they're like, obviously, an Italian
premium luxury. I think they actually
want to
keep away from the
probably
football casual thing.
But mate, it's. The Stone Island hype over here has been, like, the last few years has been absolutely insane. Like, I haven't seen, like, the hype for it, the social media attention it gets.
You know what? Like, the quality ain't as good as it used to be as well.
No.
I don't know, I say that, like, my pieces have held up well, but you are just buying a plain item with a badge on it.
Yeah.
But I don't know, there's something about it, man. Like,
it is. The fit's always been quite nice. And
yeah.
They do, like probably what you spent on the knit, like when you spend that amount, well, like when you have like that kind of, it's more like luxurious piece, they do feel really good. And
bro,
this good.
Knit's banging as well. Like,
yeah,
proper nice.
I bought the, you might remember it, like back in earlier this year, I bought the Ice Knit that released in 2017 that I made this whole series about. It was quite jarring, actually.
Was that the one that ended up being fake?
Yeah, it was one fake one. I got the real one as well. So the whole process.
Do you still have
was,
that?
No.
Oh, so you
it.
Buy
them?
Yeah. Do your
this,
thing.
Most of the time, I keep them.
Okay.
Because I do reuse it in content. But this was at the beginning of the year, so I didn't have as much flow as much cashola as I do now. Not like I'm balling now, but money was a little like more, I had to be a bit more smart, safer with the budgets of the vids. And $2,000 for like a few videos is mad.
It's mad.
So hard to get hold of, man.
Yeah.
One of the rarest pieces they've been around for years. So it's not the rarest piece they've ever done, but it's definitely up there.
From being in the groups, some of the like old school bits go for thousands.
Yeah. It's the community of Stone Island is insane.
Like some of the like anniversary jackets and stuff like that. Like they're like
anoraks.
Like, yeah. Like
early Supreme collaborations.
Yeah.
It's
like Yeah.
The Green Edge Bad stuff. Yeah. So like
pre-2000.
They're mental,
stupid
mate.
Stupid money. Yeah.
But what I love about that culture is I'm definitely not in it because I'm just probably a bit like yourself, like a bit of a, I just like the brand. I have an interest in it. But these guys who know so much about the brand and like the diehard community of Stone Island, like Stone Island has the most like diehard community I've ever seen of probably anything ever. They are absolutely obsessed and they spend so much money on it.
Proper.
And it's like a lifestyle. But it is really, like, but they're so, you speak to them. I speak to quite a few guys who are like, when I'm buying maybe a piece, who are proper into Stonies and Stone Island and that casual culture, they know their stuff like really, really well.
It's funny because I was speaking to Ed Sheeran about it because Dave told Ed Sheeran that if you have Stone Island cargos, you can't wear the badge.
Really?
Now, I never knew that was a thing, but I remember like being in the groups and that, and like they hate a double badge, let alone a triple badge.
Mm.
I love a little double badge. Nothing wrong with one ear and ear, personally. But they're proper on it. It's almost like a secret law that governs like how Stone Island should be worn, even. Like, for example, no badge on the cargos or like can't double badge it, stuff like that. You're like, is it really that deep? But
yeah,
I suppose it is, right?
If you're proper into Stone,
like, that's some people's thing.
It's a way of life,
mate. Yeah. No, for real.
It genuinely for is, real. Yeah. It goes
in with the football culture and everything, so yeah.
That's probably why I love Stone Island. I have such an interest in it, was because it basically summarizes what I love about fashion and the fact that it can kind of, like what we're doing here, like you're definitely not a fashion influencer at all.
No.
But there's a crossover that's such an easy, natural crossover.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, all you've got to do is be able to appreciate, there's certain bits that I like, for example, and Stone Island, obviously that. And also you can just bounce off it, right? Like some of the funniest videos that me and Ed have done have just been off the back of like him wearing something horrendous or me wearing, not like horrendous, but...
Yeah. What is the best dressed, or who is the best dressed person you've interviewed? Is there anyone who stands out? And obviously Eddie's worn some bad stuff and then some pretty decent bits.
Decent bits in there. Ed was very on. He had, don't know what, I just remember looking down and he had a crazy pair of Jordans on. And then obviously,
do you remember what they were?
No, I can't. I'm not good enough with names. No. Like, but I think they were like fives, I would like to say. They were hard. There are some, like, no, there are sick, because also, like, you've got to think boxing's quite like a, like, there's a lot of, like, I think, like, Zelfa Barrett, for example, I don't know if you know who he is, but every time I see him, I'm like, okay, like, that's sick. And also, like, a lot of them will try and do their ring kit, like Sonny Edwards, who's fighting this weekend, has got a sick ring kit. So obviously, you want to look good, right? That's your brand. So obviously you've got people like AJ who are tied down with Under Armour and you only see him in Under Armour. You've got Tyson Fury who's got his style. But
yeah,
also like that's how they like to present themselves. There's some proper sick ones out there, yeah.
Yeah, the crossover again, going back to that, of like sneakers and boxing goes crazy at the moment, because I saw when Jake Paul was fighting, I think it might be Tommy Fury, he actually wore, he had these custom Travis Scott
Devin Haney boots. This weekend.
Really?
Literally, if like, are we able to get a picture of Devin Haney's fight kit up? Put Haney Pro Grey. Yeah, there we are, the second one. And if you see like the outfit that he wore, he had it like custom made. That one top right probably do. So he had like, I can't remember. I went on the Instagram account the other way, but I can't lie, like the American boxers do it better. Now, I think this is a bit rascal, personally.
Hold that.
Yeah. But, like, custom Nikes on, custom made.
Big statement.
Yeah.
You got to be able to...
They're quite a fly, the American boxers.
It's like...
There's not as much of that, I would say, on these shores.
No, it's like the Dean fella of Misfits. It's Dean, my guy's bright pink, always fights pink, kind of matches.
But like that is, I can't remember. I found myself going on the guy's account who made it, and he's doing like all sorts of custom bits and stuff like that. I think it's quite sick.
Yeah.
It's a niche, right? They're flash, bro. Like they've got these big iced out chains, like.
Yeah, lots of, I've seen shit like that. That kind of jewelry world, I haven't really stepped into much, because that is getting like a big chat. That is money.
I also don't think I could sport a chain that was like a Parsons studded out, iced out. No. I think like my mum would give me a little slap and be like, "What are you
doing? Bring you back down a little bit." Yeah, yeah, I ain't big enough to do anything like that.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. There's better things.
I don't even think it's like a big thing, bro. Like even if I was like one day serious big leagues, if I'm ever donning anything like that, my mum is slapping,
bringing your butt down.
Yeah, like she violates me as it is for the Gucci chain, which actually is pretty horrendous, and we're getting rid of at last. I wore it for so long because I actually went off it myself pretty quickly, but my mum did buy it for me. She bought me the bracelet for my 18th.
Yeah, similar to me. I've got stuff like that, yeah.
I can't remember when she got me the bracelet. Maybe Christmas some point. And then I kept going on about wanting the chain to match. So then for my birthday, I got the chain to match and it just got ripped by everyone. Like Eddie was like, "Mate, it looks like you bought it off some..."
Was it a big chain
or small? Looky man on fucking Fort Aventura Beach. No, it's not massive. It's just like a... Nah. But it just looks like a bike chain, bro. And it was like $4,000 and I think that $4,000 could be spent elsewhere.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to offload that. I took so much shit for it for so long to the point where I was like, "Oh, no, I'm done in this. Like, I don't care how much shit I get for it. I'm firming it." But I firmed it for so long to the point where it ain't even like I just see what everyone's on about. Like, it ain't great.
Yeah.
We'll get rid.
Fair play, mate. Fair play. Well, we're probably wrapping up. So what is next for Parsons? What's happening? What you got?
When will this be out?
Next Monday, 6 p.m. Cool. Monday.
I will have flown to Saudi Arabia yesterday.
Sick.
We are going out there for the Anthony Joshua versus Otto Wallin fight. Obviously, Deontay Wilder fighting Joseph Parker as well. Saudi Arabia putting big investment into boxing. I'm here for it. Yeah. Huge card. It's a bit mad because I'm landing at like 2:30 on Christmas Eve. We're going straight from the boxing to the airport. And then we've got some mad like journey home and obviously land on Christmas Eve and then hopefully a bit of downtime Dubai with a big man behind the camera for New Year's. I've got so used to traveling that I can't
be everywhere, mate. I always see you on your socials, bro, man.
Like I think something like 54 flights this year, which is
I haven't been on a flight since 2019.
I swear.
Yeah, I haven't flown since 2019.
But what's mad is when I started in boxing. And this is what's really nice, like the opportunities that this sport has given me, I'm so grateful for. Like I come from really humble beginnings, like just me and my mum. She's never been massively well off, but always looked after me how she can, whatever. Like not struggled, but like just sort of got by sort of thing. And we'd only ever gone to like Spain and Portugal and I was too young to remember it. And then I turned 18, started working in boxing full time, found myself on like a 12-hour flight to Los Angeles. Now I've been all over America, Guadalajara, Cancun, Saudi Arabia, Abu Dhabi. I never wanted to see the world until I started working in boxing and I saw the world firsthand and I was like, nah, this has to be it. And now I can't be at home for like more than 4 days.
Where you're from is quite a small place.
Cirencester, small little gaff.
And whereabouts is that? Cotswolds?
Yeah, Gloucestershire, which is in the Cotswolds. But I actually moved there when I was 15.
Okay.
Yeah.
Damn, that's crazy.
Yeah.
How did you actually get, because your job now, like getting that 18 is pretty sick. I imagine people start
just networking, bro. I don't really know to this day. Just started reaching out to people, DMing people. In lockdown, I interviewed Shannon Briggs and then that got a good couple of hundred thousand views. And I started working for a little platform. And then, it just sort of took off. And then I was offered a first full-time job. They took a bit of a punt on me. Like, they didn't even check. Like, they didn't ask for a CV or nothing. And then it clearly went quite well. And clearly, I found myself in this. That's what Eddie says. Like, you're a fucking competition winner. You've blagged it. And I have, really. I don't have the minerals. I don't have a degree.
Exactly, yeah.
I'm quite, I was quite intelligent. Like, I've done well in my A-levels and that. But, like, I've never once had to show my GCSE or A-level results to do anything I'm doing.
What advice would you have to someone trying to make it in?
Networking is the biggest thing I would say ever. Just reach out to people, be persistent, whether it be like I've done a lot of mine on Instagram because I find like people do check their DMs and you're not going to get a response out of everyone. And also, like, you don't have to watch this and be like, cool, I want to become a boxing interviewer. But say you want to start working and doing stuff with musicians or people like yourself or stuff like that, reach out, be persistent. Don't fan too much in like they are just ordinary like human beings, obviously doing great things, but just be yourself. And I think if you are unique and you're just like a down to earth, decent bloke, then you'll get your opportunities. That's what's happened to me. I don't really have any bad like intent in me or anything. I've just tried to be a people person and get on with people, and it sort of took off like that.
Yeah, mate, you smashed it. Sweet one.
My guy.
Well, thank you very much for coming on, sir.
Thank you for having me.
Well, follow your socials, check Parsons out. You're always doing the most on the TikTok, yes. Man.
Also, Boxing Social, big up to them. They give me the platform, obviously, to do what I'm doing. If you like the boxing stuff, like people comment sometimes on my TikTok, they're like, do you ever actually speak to Eddie about boxing? Yes, I do.
Yeah.
The long form interviews are all on there. I just to sort of fit that niche. But yeah, Parsons on basically everything. If you want to see my annoying mug anymore,
it's been an absolute pleasure, mate. Like I said earlier, I've had you on the list for a long time, man. It's a pleasure being able to meet you in person as well.
My brother. No, thank you for having me. Big up yourself. Great podcast, great studio, great people behind it as well.
Yeah, so big
thank
love you for to having the fellas, me down. Man. Sweet. Well, thank you very much, guys. That about wraps us up. 6 PM every Monday it drops, so this will be going out 18th. I've been given the thumbs up. So yeah, check it out. YouTube, Spotify, all streaming platforms. Yeah, big love as always, and thanks for the support. And I'll see you Monday, 6 PM.